Well, here we are, Memorial Day weekend. Doesn't feel like it to me, does it? Do you? It just seemed like it was all of a sudden here. Of course, all of our schedules in life and routines of life have been upset for several months now, but this day was originally, tomorrow, was originally called Decoration Day. Decoration Day was a date of remembrance that was originally held on May 30th every year, no matter what day of the week it fell on. And it was established either by a group of people in South Carolina or by a group of people in New York. Historians debate it. I don't guess it really matters when it started, but it was designed not to remember those who served in the military, but those who served in the military and died in service. And it was really designed originally to remember those lost in the Civil War, or as they would call it in the North, the War for the Union. It wasn't until 1968 that, with the passage of the Uniform Monday Holiday Act, that the last Monday of May became the day we remember. But what, you might ask, does Memorial Day have to do with worship and Christianity? Memorial Day is primarily a secular holiday. Doesn't mean it's a bad holiday, it's just a different kind of holiday. And we're called to stop and remember those who paid the price, the ultimate price. In fact, officially, we're supposed to stop at 3 o'clock on Monday afternoon for a moment of remembrance, to remember those who have fallen. That's the official time when we do it, no matter what time zone you live in. Fundamentally, though, a memorial is simply something designed to remind us of something we already know. We knew and know, they knew, that people gave their lives in the Civil War in an effort to preserve the Union or to separate the Union. We know people gave their lives for our nation in other wars, which we remember those as well. But we do need periodic reminders so we don't forget. Now, when you come to Joshua chapter 4, what you have is a memorial, a reminder, a setting aside of a moment where the people of God would be reminded. It's not one memorial, though. It's actually two. There's two memorials in the passage. One, a memorial, what I call to forget, and a memorial to remember. So a remembrance to forget, and a remembrance to remember. So look with me. We're going to look at the passage as we work through the text, because we're looking at quite a bit of text, but I want to read it all because I think it speaks into our message today. The first thing I want you to notice is this. There's a command given in the first part of the chapter to gather stones, a command to gather stones. So look at verses 1 to 8. When all the nation had finished crossing over the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, take 12 men from the people, from each tribe a man, and command them, saying, take 12 stones from here out of the midst of the Jordan, from the very place where the priest's feet stood firmly, and bring them over with you and lay them down in the place where you lodge tonight. Then Joshua called the 12 men from the people of Israel whom he had appointed, a man from each tribe, and Joshua said to them, pass on before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan and take you up each a stone upon his shoulder according to the number of tribes of the people of Israel, that this may be a sign among you. That's the preparation for the memorial to remember. And when your children ask in time to come, what do these stones mean to you? Then you shall tell them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. And when it passed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. So these stones shall be to the people of Israel a memorial forever. And the people of Israel did just as Joshua commanded and took up 12 stones out of the midst of the Jordan, according to the number of the tribes of the people of Israel, just as the Lord told Joshua. And they carried them over with them to the place where they lodged and laid them down there. So we open this text and we find that God's people are on the verge of entering the promised land. If you remember the story in the 40 or so years before, they had had to spend 40 years in the wilderness because a generation of people had said, yeah, we can't do what God's calling us to do, so we're not going to do it. And God's word came down, great, then you'll spend 40 years in the wilderness till all of you who are 20 years and older, except a couple of you, die. Then God will take his people into the land, and this has finally come to pass. And Moses has come to the end of his life. He has passed leadership over to Joshua. Joshua was no young man at this point. He was probably pushing 80 himself. They were now ready to go possess the land of promise. They have made their way up the eastern side of the Dead Sea. They're now standing opposite of Jericho, that ancient walled city, and a vital water crossing is in front of them. And what we find in the passage before this is that God has accomplished something supernatural. He has opened a river that in the springtime is a raging river with the snows coming down from the mountains in the north. It is a torrent of water, and God has stopped that supernaturally. He has accomplished something that is amazing. Just as he carried his people out of the land of Egypt across the Red Sea by parting the waters, now he is moving them into the promised land by stopping the waters. And here they are, told to carry the Ark of the Covenant into the river. And as the priests step in, and you read this in the previous chapter, they step in, you find that they step into the water and the water stops. The land becomes dry. The people of Israel cross, at least the tribes that were moving west of the Jordan and the armies of the entire nation come across, and they get to the other side, and Joshua gives them a strange command. Take 12 stones from out of here, out of the midst of the Jordan, from the very place from the priests where they stood firmly, and bring them over with you and lay them down on the place where you lodge tonight. Now that's got to be weird, to be standing there and being told to pick up rocks. But they did it without question, and the stones would be assembled a little bit later on in the text to form a memorial of God's deliverance. In fact, as the years would pass, these stones that would be established near Gilgal would remind them of what's going on, and they would answer the question, what do those stones mean to you? And you will tell them the waters of the Jordan were cut off from the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, and when it passed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. And so these stones serve as a memorial forever. They'd be reminded of God's deliverance. Be reminded of God working in their land. I want you to catch this thought. I don't know about you, but we all need reminders of God's work in our lives, don't we? We need to be reminded that God is indeed at work. It is encouraging to have individuals who speak into our lives and remind us that God loves us and he cares for us, that he's working in our lives. It's important to see times when we've had victories and God is the one who has carried us through. It's important to remember the failures when God has forgiven us and redeemed us and restored us. You know, if we stop and do an honest assessment of our lives, if you were to look back over the years behind you, you can see, can't you, times when God has carried you through. Just like the decorations on the soldiers' graves remind us of their sacrifice for freedom and liberty, so too are these various markers in our lives. And whether it be a season of distress or a season of moving forward, we can be reminded that God is still there. These stones, these reminders, if you will, serve us. Why? Because it's true that God is always at work. He's always at work in your life. He's always moving, doing something. And even when you don't see it, he's there. Even when you don't understand it, he's there. Instead of us turning a blind eye to it, let's be people who say, let's set a marker and be reminded. So first, there was a command to gather stones. Second, there was a decision to break with the past. Now, this little passage, you may, just like me, I was pretty familiar with the stones that they carried out and set up, but verse 9 tells us of another set of stones that Joshua pulls together. Look at verse 9. And Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of the Jordan in the place where the feet of the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant had stood, and there they are, and they are there to this day. For the priest bearing the Ark stood in the midst of the Jordan until everything was finished that the Lord commanded Joshua to tell the people, according to all that Moses had commanded Joshua, and the people passed over in haste. Verse 11. And when all the people had passed over, had finished passing over, the Ark of the Lord and the priest passed over before the people. The sons of Reuben, the sons of Gad, the half-tribe of Manasseh passed over armed before the people as Moses had told them. About 40,000 ready for war passed over before the Lord for battle to the plains of Jericho. And on that day, the Lord exalted Joshua in the sight of all Israel. And they stood in awe of him just as they stood in awe of Moses all the days of his life. So here we have 12 stones hoisted, carried out, moved over to the shoreline, somewhere west of the Jordan River, where Gilgal is located. And then Joshua does this. He takes 12 additional stones and sets them up in the middle of the Jordan as the waters were stopped. Remember, God had stopped the floodwaters. So Joshua's working on a dry riverbed, right there at the bottom of the river, I believe. And he goes to the spot where the priest had been standing with the Ark of the Covenant as God's people were allowed to cross into the Promised Land. He sets up 12 additional stones as what I believe is a memorial of forgetting. Now, some scholars try to identify these as the same 12 stones, but if you read the whole chapter, you find there's just no way. They're not the same stones because they have a different meaning. They are what I believe to be a memorial of forgetfulness. You're probably thinking, that seems kind of weird, almost like an oxymoron. It's to remember to forget to remember. But remember, God's people have been delivered from Egypt. Do you remember how they were delivered? As they were on the shore of the Red Sea, they were standing there with water in front of them and the army of Pharaoh behind them. And what happened in front of them? God parted the waters so they could what? Cross out of slavery. But do you remember what happened when God's people were safely across the body of water? The army of Pharaoh chased behind them and they were drowned by the waters. They were put in the past, if you will. So they were a form of judgment to say, that's then, this is now. We're not going there. We're going forward. I suspect what Joshua was doing was setting a memorial that was going to be covered by water. It would no longer be seen except for maybe in the drier times of year. And what he does is set up a reminder for them, a memorial, not about God's deliverance, but a reminder that God also is the God of judgment. And that's what I want you to see. God is judgment to those who refuse to call, to follow, to refuse his call to follow. Sorry, I got that turned around. What happens symbolically here, I think, is that Joshua makes a break with their past. He says, that's the past. They're not going to live the way they were. Do you remember what caused them 40 years in the wilderness? The rebellion of God's people. He says, that time is over. The old ways are in the past. The memorial on the shore is going to be the one that reminds us of what God's doing now. He's leading us to him and leading us forward. But that second memorial would be enveloped by the waters, reminding as a testimony to the separation of God's people from their ways. God was moving among them. So we have a command to gather stones, a decision to break with the past. Then we have a commitment to the future. Look at verse 15. And the Lord said to Joshua, command the priests bearing the Ark of the Testimony to come up out of the Jordan. I think they're still standing in the bottom of the riverbed when this happens. So Joshua commanded the priests, come up out of the Jordan. And when the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord came up from the midst of the Jordan and the soles of the priests' feet were lifted up on high, on dry ground, the waters of the Jordan returned to their place and overflowed all its banks as before. So, with the memorial to forget set, God says, okay, let's move on. Let's make a commitment to the future. Let's go to where we're going to be, where the treasure is. Let's go to where God's at work in our lives. And as soon as they arrived to the point where the riverbank would fill and actually overfill, the water returned to its banks. But back up for a minute with me. Can you imagine if you were standing in the bottom of the riverbed that day, what would you see? You look to your right because they crossed from east to west, and there would have been a wall of water. That would have been fun to look at, huh? You look to your left, and there's nothing because the water has drained on into the Dead Sea. Ahead of you is the Promised Land, but behind you is what? Where you came from. What you know already, the confidence, you go, I know how to live over there. So here they are in this moment in a place unlike the previous generation. They're not unlike them. They're at a place where they're on dry land at the bottom of a watery area. But catch this, they couldn't stay there forever. They could not set up camp at the bottom of the river. They had to move on. They had to make a decision to either move forward or go back. Staying simply wasn't an option. And you know what? It never is for us either, is it? We have to move on in life. And that's what I want you to see. God desires to lead us forward to a greater kingdom service. I remember as I was preparing this week, I was reminded of an experience in my life that I'm going to share with you. But about 12, 13 years ago, I was a part of a team that went into Torreon, Mexico. Torreon is a manufacturing city in the northern part of Mexico, but not on the border, so it's hours inside. But we were called, the team was asked to go and share the gospel, copies of the Gospel of John, to every home in the village of Bermejillo. Now, that sounds like a pretty easy task, except the village of Bermejillo was a population of about 7,500, a pretty good-sized town. So we went through the week. We'd walk the doors, talk on doors, hand out gospels. We'd have Mexican Baptists with us who would speak the language and communicate and share with people the gospel. A number of folks became to know the Lord. Many wanted to study the Bible and get into Bible study groups. But when we finished the end of the week, we had scheduled a free day where we would kind of relax, see something in the community, see something in the area down there. And so our missionary contact suggested we go to a place called the Ojuela Mine. My Spanish sometimes is weird. When it's OJ, I always struggle with that combination. But Ojuela Mine. And it was a mine that dated from the days of the Spanish conquistadors. So you're talking 1500s. It was an ancient mine that they had extracted gold and silver and other precious minerals out of. And we were going to get to go and walk through this mine. I got to tell you, y'all know I like history. So I was like geeking out. All right. This is like, man, this is going to be so cool. So they loaded us up in the missionary van, and we make our way back out to the high desert north of Torreon. And when we turn left or west into the mountains, and we turned off into a dirt road, gravel road, rutted road. I mean, this is not like American Park Service roads. These are rough, okay? And we're just bouncing along through this place. And my anticipation is rising. I'm going, yes, we're going to get to do this. This is going to be so cool to see the Spanish conquistador mine and all this kind of stuff. But we pulled up at the parking lot, which really wasn't a parking lot. It was just a big open spot at the end of the road to see this. And I don't know if any of you have a fear of heights or not. One of the things I don't really care for is heights. And you're thinking to yourself, is that like a pipeline across there? No, that's a walkway. A wooden walkway on a suspension bridge over a little bit of air, we'll just call it that. And I look at that thing and I'm going, the mine's over there. Where's the handicap entrance is what I wanted to know. There wasn't one. That was the entrance. That was the place to get there. And I have a fear of heights. I don't particularly care for nothing under me. I don't think I'll ever skydive in life, just telling you. But I wanted to see the treasure. So here's what I did. I decided I would make it. I put my head down. I wasn't looking around. I looked at my feet and started walking across that thing. And I got to tell you, every once in a while there'd be a piece of wood missing and you could see down, and the whole bridge did this number all the way across. Now, why do I tell you that? Because, you know, in some ways, our life is just like this. We don't know if the bridge is going to hold. We don't know what's going to hold up the bridge completely, entirely. We have our faith that the Lord is. But I got to tell you, the real treasures of the Lord are not behind us, but ahead of us. We have to somehow decide we're going to make a commitment to the future to get across, to get to where God has us, to get to the place he wants us to be, to serve in the areas we want us to serve. Just like the people in Joshua's day, they had to move forward. We too have to move forward. As a side note, that was also the exit from the mine. So I got to do it twice. But yeah, hey, listen, I already done it once. The second time was easier because I had a confidence in the bridge would most likely hold. One more thought I want you to see from this passage. So we have a commitment, a command to gather the stones, a decision to break with the past, a commitment to the future. What about that other memorial? We're talking about memorials today. It's a Memorial Day weekend. What about that other 12 stones? Well, here they are. Verse 19, the people came up out of the Jordan on the 10th day of the first month, and they encamped at Gilgal on the east border of Jericho. And those 12 stones, which they took out of the Jordan, Joshua set up at Gilgal. So Joshua is a big monument guy. He built two. He built one in the waters and one on the shore. And he said to the people of Israel, when your children ask their fathers in time to come, what do these stones mean? Then you will let your children know. Israel passed over this Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan for you until you passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up for us until we passed over, so that all the peoples of the earth may know that the hand of the Lord is mighty, that you may fear the Lord your God forever. So with the water back at their borders, the river flowing once again, the people of God heading forward into the future, into the promised land, what about the 12 stones? As they're camped here at Gilgal, they set up these stones as a memorial, as a reminder of the supernatural deliverance of God across the river into the land of promise. Now, what was so important about that location? I got to tell you that I've been to that location. That is an amazing location. You look at it and you say, there's not a thing that grows in the world around here hardly, unless it's water. That's right. But this is a place that locates one of the oldest cities in the world. For two reasons. One, there's water there. But that's not the big deal here. The big deal is this is the crossroads of trade. If you were traveling from Egypt to Mesopotamia, you generally would have crossed this river or come by this crossing. You would have been a way station for you to go to. If you were going east to west, you would cross this location. And this marker would serve as a constant reminder for anyone who passed through this area, the God of the Bible is a God who can deliver us from the painful seasons of life, from the dangerous past that we may have lived in, to the place he wants us to be. It was a reminder that God is God. Yeah, they were facing a season of years before they would possess the land. And the walled city they had to take was just over in the distance. That's the next story in the line. But here, with the declaration to follow God, they believe they could do everything through him who gave them strength, and he is the one who would serve to lead them, and their lives would serve as a declaration that God and the hand of the Lord is mighty. Here's what I want you to hear as we wrap this up. Let the reminders of God's presence in your life spur you on to great things. To greater things. You know, there's something about you and me as humans. We love to work for a season. We'll bear down for a while. Then what do? We want to relax. We want to kick back. Take some time off. But God's economy, he calls us to faithfully follow him the rest of our days. He doesn't say you can work for a while and then stop and then give up. No, he says keep working. Remember we sing an old song, we'll work what? Till Jesus comes. Jesus is the one calling us forward. Let me ask you this, are you sure of that relationship with him? Is he leading you? Are you following him? Have you confessed and committed your life to him? Until you do, this following Jesus doesn't make sense. But when you do, he'll give you reminders, he'll give you faithfulness, he'll give you service, and you'll find your days worth having. Father God, we thank you so much for loving us and giving us this time together. We pray for our nation this weekend as we remember those men and women who have given their lives in service to our country. We pray your blessing on their families as they're reminded of that ultimate sacrifice. And we pray, God, that you would give us the opportunity to respond to you and to follow you and to be faithful to you wherever you want to lead us. In Jesus' name, amen.